It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and it's so good to have you on the program today. Yesterday on the program, we began with the book of 2 Timothy. Now, I love 2 Timothy because it's one of three books in the New Testament that are called the pastoral epistles. Paul wrote these for pastors. Now, yesterday we covered the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Today we're going to pick up with chapter 2. Paul says, "You then, my son," talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, there are two ways we can interpret this verse. First of all, it is the grace of God that allows us to be strong. The joy of the Lord is our strength, but we're strong in the grace of God. I also believe a second way of interpreting this verse, since it's written to a pastor, and Paul's telling him, don't forget the teachings I gave you and share these and hold on to them in your heart. But he's telling Timothy, "Timothy, I want you to be a strong grace person. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." If you've listened to my program for any length of time at all, you'll know that I'm strong in grace. I grew up in church from the time I was about 8 years old. I heard a lot of legalism preached. I heard a lot of the law relating to God based on my performance. Many churches today, you will hear the law, the old covenant. But in the new covenant of grace, we relate to God not based on our performance, but upon what Jesus did for us at the cross. Jesus came to usher in this new covenant, but he came teaching the law. He taught it so hot that he said, "You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. I tell you, if you even look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart." Jesus was not a grace preacher. Even though he came to usher in grace, he came teaching the law, because he came for the lost sheep of Israel. And they had to be declared guilty under the law before they could ever accept his new covenant of grace. So Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I believe Paul's telling Timothy, "Timothy, I want you to preach this new covenant of grace where we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross, and then that enables us to live out the life God wants us to live." He says in verse 2, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Now, 2 Timothy 2:2 gives us a very important principle. What is that? It's that we are to look for faithful men, not the most qualified people. See, so many times churches look for people with great abilities. We want those who can sing the best, those who can teach the best, and we don't look for faithful people. And then we struggle when qualified people are not reliable or faithful. See, this is the principle Paul's teaching us here. You entrust this teaching to reliable men, faithful men, who will also be qualified to teach others. They may not be qualified now, but they will be as God qualifies them. He goes on and says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." Oh, I must warn you today, the Christian life is not an easy life. It's a life that oftentimes is filled with hardship. And Paul said, "You endure it like a good soldier." And then he gives us an example in verse 4. He says, "No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." You see, when we recognize that we are soldiers in the army of God, it will change our attitude. And we won't be so much worried about our civilian affairs. We won't be so much worried about our pleasures in this life, because we want to please our commanding officer, which is the captain of the host, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5, he says, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Now, Paul's using the example of an athlete, a runner. And he's like, they have to go by the rules if they're going to receive the crown. Now he uses a third example of a hardworking farmer. He says in verse 6, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Paul is talking here about the rewards that we get from serving Christ. The hardworking farmer, he should be the first to receive a share of the crops. God's going to bless you as you're faithful to him. Now let's look at verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says this, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Paul brings it back to the heart of the gospel. It's Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. He was descended from David. He's the Messiah. And he says, this is my gospel that I'm suffering for. But God's word is not chained, he says. Therefore, we get a therefore verse. I've always taught you when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. He's getting ready to say something heavy. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Sometimes we forget the gospel. The gospel is the good news that God loved the world so much that he sent his son to become man, to take on all my sin and to die on the cross so that I could take his righteousness and one day spend eternal life in heaven with him. That is good news, friend. That truly is the gospel. Paul said, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the gospel that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Now in verse 11, he picks it up again and he says, here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Did you notice that? No matter what happens, God will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. The Bible tells us this, that God is faithful even unto 1,000 generations. He's faithful. In verse 14, Paul tells Timothy, keep reminding them of these things. So he's talking to a pastor and he's telling him what to do with his congregation. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listens. Now look at verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. I'd like to share this to you today in the King James Version because this is the way I memorized it, and it really gives a little different insight. Look at verse 15 now out of the King James Version. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When you begin to understand this new covenant of grace, this verse finally makes sense. Notice it didn't say study so you'll be approved. It said study to show yourself approved unto God. See, when you begin to understand grace, you'll understand that you don't have to work for God's approval any longer. Once you receive Jesus Christ, God has approved you. He gives you his righteousness. So now you're to study, not to be approved, but you're to study to show yourself that God has already approved you. He's adopted you into his family. He's given you his name, and you're now a child of God. So study to show yourself approved unto God, look at this next part, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then he says this, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you rightly divide the word of truth? I believe it's Old Covenant and New Covenant. See, in the Bible, your Bible contains two religions, the religion of Judaism and the religion of Christianity. Old Covenant, where it was dependent on you keeping 613 laws, or the New Covenant, which is totally based on the grace of God. I am saved because I believe in the finished work of Christ at the cross. Friend, this is powerful. I hope you get this today. Don't study so that you'll be approved, because God will say, wow, they know a lot of scripture. Now I'm going to approve them. Study to show yourself that you've already been approved by God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, because Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So study to show God's already approved you, and you don't need to be ashamed. And then rightly divide the word of truth. See, sometimes we take an Old Covenant truth, we'll take an Old Testament law, and we'll try to make it make sense in the New Covenant, and it doesn't. Now let me give you another warning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still Old Covenant books. The New Covenant didn't begin till Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. That's when the New Covenant came into effect. They were still under the Old Covenant. Jesus still preached the law to the Jews. The Bible says if righteousness could be obtained by the law, Christ died for nothing. So the book of Acts is really where the New Testament begins and the New Covenant begins, and Paul became the apostle who would teach grace, this New Covenant. So he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Friend, once you grasp this, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. When you hear somebody teaching the law, something inside of you will say, that's not right. Now in verse 16, Paul picks up again and he says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Remember, Paul is talking here to Pastor Timothy. He's telling him, Timothy, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. It's sad, but in many of our pulpits today, we've inputted a lot of godless chatter. Paul said their teachings will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So Paul's telling us here, as pastors, we need to be preaching this new covenant of grace. Don't get into the godless chatter of a lot of psychology and babbling that is only going to lead people astray. He said in verse 20, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some are for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument of noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Now let me try to wind this up today. Paul said, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. Wow, great day today on Fresh Oil. I hope you got this. Really important that you understand we're under this new covenant of grace, so rightly divide the word of truth.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.